Do you remember years ago, there was a TV commercial on, and if I remember it right, it went something like this. The TV commercial would show a lot of people in a restaurant. They would just be eating, and there would be background noise, like waitresses and waiters, and dishes in the background, and the clanking of silverware. And somebody would bend across the table and say, "E.F. Hutton says," and it would get quiet. You remember that? And what they would say is, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. I began thinking about things that make us listen. There's a five-letter word, B-L-O-O-D. And today, when somebody mentions the word blood, it brings all kinds of thoughts into our mind. And people listen. I want to take a little survey tonight. How many of you, by raise of your hand, have donated blood to the Red Cross? Very good. I want you to remember something. This is important. One pint of your blood can help four people. That's important to remember, okay? How many of you have ever had a blood transfusion? A few. Sometime in our life, the Red Cross tells us that one out of 20 Americans will have a blood transfusion. When we start thinking of AIDS and the things that we hear about on the news, that can get scary. And I started thinking about blood, so I went to the Red Cross and I got some information. I started reading about it, and I found out that if you're going to need blood, there's one of five things that you can do. One is called autologous donations. And what that is if you know you're going to have surgery, say a month from now, you can go down to the hospital, they'll withdraw a pint of blood out of your veins, tag your name on it, put it in storage, and a month from now, when you have surgery, you get your own blood back. That's pretty safe. The next one is called hemodilution. And what it is donating your blood at the time of surgery. When you go in for surgery, you're on the table, they take a pint of blood out, they hold it aside, and then through the process of the surgery, if you need blood, they give you your own blood back, fresh. That's pretty safe. Another way is when they put you under, they slow you down, and your heart doesn't beat very hard, and so you don't lose much blood, but during surgery, you do lose some blood. And they found a way to strain your blood, cleanse it, put it back into your body. That's pretty safe. The fourth way is a little bit different. That is going to your friends, your family, and your relatives and saying, "I'm going to have surgery and I need blood. Would you donate blood for me?" And if you trust their moral lifestyle, you feel pretty good about getting blood from them. But there is a drawback. I'm B positive. Jenny's A positive. I can't give my blood to Jenny or she'll die. You have to get blood the same type. That limits what you can do. The fifth way of getting blood is when we have gone to the Red Cross, we have donated our blood. It takes about an hour to go through the process and get your little munchies at the end and visit with all the people that are turning white and go your way. And you have faith that they have checked that blood and it's going to be safe for you to get. That they know what they're doing. We're so fearful about the spread of AIDS that we will go to just about any length we can to ensure that our family and ourselves are safe. The word blood, when I think of it, makes me think when I watch 911. It used to be when I worked at the hospital as a receiving man that I would go up to ER and to OR and I would see the doctors and nurses and they'd have latex surgical gloves on and a mask on to protect the patient, but not anymore. It's not just to protect the patient, it's to protect themselves from the patient. And now they even wear shields over their face so they don't get anything splattered in their eyes. We are very careful. And sometimes the word blood and the implications that come with us just scare us. What is blood that is so good about it? And what is blood that scares us about blood? And the average male and the average adult, there's approximately 10 pints of this red liquid. Now, it's not just any liquid. It's something very special. Red blood contains red blood cells. That gives it its color. And it also courses through our veins as our heart pumps it. And in our lungs, it picks up oxygen and feeds our body. You need to remember this. It feeds our body. And then it comes back to our lungs and it gives off carbon dioxide. The average adult has about 25 trillion red blood cells. That's pretty important. That much of something in me is important. The next is white blood cells. White blood cells fight infection. They keep us from catching viral infections over and over and over and over again. Most of us probably know people that have had a low white blood count, and they're very ill and they're very susceptible to everything that comes along. Plasma is next. Plasma is a part of our blood. About 50% of plasma is water. About 50% of blood is plasma, rather. 92% of that is water. That's important to remember. Water is very important. The other 8% is proteins, vitamins, minerals, nutrients, and about 200 other items. And then lastly, there are platelets. Platelets are small, irregularly shaped little things in our blood that when we get cut, it goes to that area and it clots and it helps us. You didn't know all that was in your blood, did you? We just take it for granted as we sit here. This is all going on inside of our body, keeping us healthy. We take it for granted. There are 8 different kinds of blood types. There's O positive and O negative, A positive, A negative, B positive, B negative, AB positive, AB negative. O positive is the most popular. 1 out of every 3 of us in this room have O positive blood. It's pretty popular, pretty common. AB negative, 1 in 167 people will have it. We call it rare. As I read over this stuff and I was thinking about how precious blood is, I thought, I am at B positive, 1 in 12 have it. I don't care 1 in who has it. If I need it, it's precious. Blood is precious. Your blood, whatever your type, is precious to you. It gives physical life to you. The scriptures tell us that in the blood is the life of man. Blood is important. O, type O is very important because it's interchangeable. It is universal. When I read that, I thought, oh, I'm starting to see something, folks. I don't work for the Red Cross. That's not why I'm here. But I learned something from this. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." I don't know what blood type Jesus had, but you and I can give our blood, and 1 pint can help 4 people. Jesus shed his blood, and it's universal. It cleanses whosoever will. I praise the Lord for that, for the precious blood that he shed. The Bible's theme is the blood of Christ. From the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve to the book of Revelation, we remove the blood from the Bible and we have a book without a heart. A gospel without hope and saving power. Remove the blood from the body and we have a corpse. Remove the blood from the Christian faith, and we have a lifeless creed that's not worth holding. The blood is the price of our redemption. Is there anybody in here that's ever sinned? Oh, we're all truthful anyway. Good. People down through the ages have wondered, how do you get rid of sin? John Bunyan wrote a book many years ago called Pilgrim's Progress, and in it, he characterized sin on the back of a person like a knapsack, heavy and weighty, and bending our back over with a heavy burden that grows and grows and grows and grows. And the age-old question is, how do we get rid of this burden? Some have said, deny its existence. It'll go away. God says that He requires that which is past. We can't forget about it. God won't forget about your sin, but He'll forgive us for it. And He'll cleanse us and make our hearts anew. Some say, I have the power just to quit. I can quit anything I want, anytime I want. But the Bible says it's like a dog returning to his vomit. The sinner returns to his sin. It doesn't make me feel good, but it's truth. The next is to work it out. I'm working on it. I'll come to church, people say, when I get my life in order. And I think, oh, I wish they could just see, Lord, that if they would come to church, or if they would sit down in the home with a friend and let them share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them and get saved, God would put their life in order. I can't, and neither can you, and neither can our neighbors that we witness to. The age-old question is answered. Accept Jesus' offering on our behalf to repent and to believe the gospel. What does man say about the blood? Man has said in ages past that it's a slaughterhouse religion, something from the Stone Age and the Dark Ages. It doesn't belong today, not in our society. Some have said that Jesus' blood was good enough to redeem him, but not you or I. Some have said that the blood of Jesus had no more power after it was shed than it was when his heart pumped it through his body and it coursed through his veins. How deceived they are. I don't care about what other people say. I want to know what the Bible says about the blood of Jesus. We're told that the blood is the life of man, and that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness of sins. We look back and God slew an animal. The blessing was in the death of the animal. Abel brought a blood offering, and it was accepted after the blood was shed. After the flood, Noah sacrificed. He shed the blood of animals. And then finally in Exodus, at the Passover, the children of Israel were to take the perfect spotless lamb and kill it and take its blood, its shed blood. And God said, tonight, I will pass over, and when I see the blood, apply. When I see the blood, I will pass over. We look the same on the outside. We try to make categories of people. The black and the white, the rich and the poor. Those who are socially and economically on a higher standard and the down and outer. But God looks on the heart. What matters is, has the blood been applied or has it not? There is blood in the New Testament. We're told that neither by the blood of goats and calves and things like this, but by Jesus' own blood, he purchased our redemption. The blood is the promise of our peace. By nature, we are sinful, children of wrath. That's discouraging if we just harp on that over and over. But Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, friends, I have peace with God. I have a mind. I remember past 16 years ago, I didn't have peace with God, but Jesus purchased it for me. The blood is the power for living. Blood in our physical body is very important. Blood goes into our lungs and picks up oxygen and distributes it to our body. And then as I thought of that spiritually, I thought, the blood It purchases life for us, spiritual life. The air we breathe spiritually is because of the blood. In John chapter 4, Jesus talked to the woman at the well, and she said, you're going to give me water? I've got the bucket, you don't. How are you going to get water out of this well? You don't have anything to dip with. And Jesus said, but the water I'll give to you will make you so you'll never thirst again. 50% of that plasma is water, essential for physical life. Jesus said, he that believes on me, out of his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Spiritual life. Just a couple chapters later, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You know what? Through the walls in your intestines, your bloodstream picks up food and feeds your body and my body to keep us alive. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He didn't say, I am strawberry shortcake. He didn't say, I'm apple pie. He didn't say that he was chocolate. Those are non-essentials. Jesus told them that he was the bread of life, that which is essential to sustain life. And just as the bloodstream delivers this food to nourish and strengthen our bodies, so Jesus tries to get across to us, I am the bread of life. I am necessary, absolute, no substitute. If you went into the hospital and they said, we're out of blood, but we've got red Kool-Aid, can we try? You'd say, you're nuts. And yet we try different things other than the blood, other than Jesus. There's no substitute for the blood, dear friend. And as I look at your faces tonight, I know many of you, and I know you're children of God. I know you've fed upon him and you've drunk of him. But when we eat and when we drink, that means getting something into us, and it makes us what we are. If you eat pop and potato chips and candy bars, you'll begin to look like that. If you eat fruit and vegetables and meat and all that, your body will show that. And what I'm getting at is as we feed on Christ, get into the meat of the Word and drink of him, and he makes up who we are, we reflect him. There's no substitute. I've experienced it. And God is faithful. The blood has cleansed. We need to dwell on this. We need to think about this tonight as we go. How much we thank the Lord for saving us. And there are lost people in our neighborhood. People that we work with that need him. They need that water. That living water. And they need that food. In ending, I'd just like to say this. They get it. Your body gets the food and the water because of the blood. We get eternal life because of the blood. Maybe it scared you to think about blood, but let's think about it a different way. The blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing dirty or filthy about it, but rather it is a cleansing stream, a cleansing fountain that washes a sin away from our soul. Lord Jesus, thank you for tonight, and thank you for this verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for becoming human like us, flesh and blood, and then shedding that blood. Lord Jesus, I think how one pint of blood can help four people. And when you shed your blood, maybe you lost all 10 pints, and physically that would help 40 people. But spiritually, that shed blood can help the entire human race of whosoever will come to you and confess and put their faith and trust in you. Lord, help this to encourage us tonight when we realize how much you love us and what you've done on our behalf. And may it also help us as we go forward to share our faith with others and to pray and to ask the Lord of the harvest that you would send forth laborers and that we might be some of those laborers to win souls for you. And let them experience the cleansing blood that washes us clean and pure from sin. Thank you, Lord, for this gathering. And we just love you, Lord Jesus. Amen.